So, thank you for the invitation. And yeah, I'm going to talk today about Sigma VOA correspondence. Well, so this is my attempt at the Blackboard talk. I hope it goes well. So, what is this? It's kind of, ooh, it is getting a little What is this? Well, it is a kind of a funny relation between a Sigma model on one hand and vertex algebra on the other hand that we observed. So this is work to appear with Vasilis Giannis, a very nice student of mine, and John Duncan. And Roberto Volpato. And hopefully this will appear very soon. And first, I have to admit that I'm not completely sure what the natural place is to understand this correspondence and what the best way is to understand it. So I hope the audience might give me some insight about it. But I do think that this story ultimately has something to do with the Moonshine story. So at least this is how we started. That's how we encounter this correspondence. So in the first part, I'll tell you something about Matthew Moonshine. So if you are very familiar with this story, you can maybe just chillax for 10 minutes while I go through things you already know very well. And then the second topic is I'll review the so-called Conway module and what it has to do with this story and the Sigma VOA correspondence. And then finally, I will introduce what I mean by this correspondence, what's the content of it, and I will focus on the case of T4 Sigma model. Okay? So here we go. So the first part, just going to quickly remind you the story of Matthew Moonshine. So to describe this story, I will first write down a function that's defined on the upper half plane. And then to write it down, I'll write down another function. Well, defined in this way. It's kind of some kind of theta function-like object. Oh, this is a little bit foggy. So that means R is larger than S, larger than zero. And then R and S is, R minus S is 1 mod 2. Okay, so they're either odd, even, or even odd. So, and this is the summand. Okay, so this is such a function. You can just expand it. It's completely explicit. And this H function is then defined as, 1/3 of eta function. And in the numerator, we have the second Eisenstein series and 48 copies of such a function. Okay, so it's completely explicit and you can expand it and it has such nice expansion. For instance, you can see that the coefficient doesn't grow so fast. They're all very nice integers. And so on. Okay, so this function also has a nice Mach modularity, which is the statement that you can define another function, which is this function plus kind of holomorphic. Non-holomorphic Eschewer integral. Okay, so The bottom here is minus tau bar. So you can see that it's indeed non-holomorphic. Okay, it is a little bit messed up, the writing. I don't know why my writing pad is doing this today. And then this is eta cubed of tau prime. And this is an integral over tau prime. Okay, is the mutness. The answer is F2 contributes crucially to the Machness. Okay. All right, so the Mach modularity states that this function H hat transforms like a weight 1/2 modular form. Okay, so that's the Mach modularity property of this function H. So the moonshine observation of Iguchi, Oguri, and Tachikawa, now we call it EOT lovingly, in 2010, is that these coefficients I wrote down, 45, 231, 770, and so on. Oh, this is really not really easy to write, to read, I'm sorry. So they are dimensions of some ERAPs of the group M24, okay? So M24 is a nice sporadic group and is a subgroup of S24. So in particular, there is a 24 dimensional permutation representation. We'll call it the R24, okay? So that's the permutation representation of M24 that I'm going to use. So then the conjecture of mature moonshine says that there is naturally defined M24 module with a Z grading. So namely, it has this form, R1, R2, R3, and so on. Okay, it has the property that I can define another function defined on the upper half plane in this way, Q to the minus one, and we don't touch the minus two in front. And for the rest, we just write down for it, the G character of this nth piece of the representation. So there exists such a module such that, okay, this function, when added with another piece, so basically the same, exactly the same non-holomorphic Eichler integral, but now instead of 24, I replace this with, you know, the G character of the 24 dimensional permutation module of M24, and then the same integral here. This guy transforms again like a modular form of weight 1/2, but now for, not for SO2Z, but for the congruent subgroup, gamma zero, and the given by the order of the element, and possibly with a non-trivial multiplier, namely a non-trivial character from this group to C star, okay? So that's the conjecture. And what's the status of this conjecture? Well, so the theorem due to Terry Gannon says that such R exists, okay? But the challenge now is, why is it naturally defined? So how to construct it? So that's the challenge of Matthew Moonshine. And this is an unsolved problem. Okay, and then to put things into context, this is actually also an one of the cases of a more general phenomenon called Umbral Moonshine. Okay, also to explain this, recall that there are 24 rank 24 lattices, which are even and self-dual, and with definite signature, let's say positive definite. So one of them is the famous Leech letters with no roots, and the other one, I'll call them the Niemeyer lattices with root system X. Okay, and N24 plays another role as being this group, namely the automorphism of this Niemeyer lattice, and then you model by the simple piece that you don't want, that's just given by the wild group, but of the root system, for root system 24 copies of A1. And then the Umbral Moonshine says that there is an analogous Moonshine conjecture for each of the Niemeyer lattices in X. Okay, just with the group that's replaced by this symmetry group, and then the corresponding property of the on the Mach module points. Okay, so that's my very fast introduction about Matthew Moonshine. And unless there's questions, I will go to the second part, namely is to tell you what the relation or the lack of relation is between Matthew Moonshine and K3 sigma models. Okay, so, there are different types of definitions for elliptic genus, but for today, I'm just going to define elliptic genus in the following way. So, for any X that's Calabi-Yau. Okay, then we can define the sigma model on this supersymmetric sigma model on this space X, and then at a given point in the moduli space of the sigma model, okay? And elliptic genus will then be defined as the trace over the Ramon-Ramon-Hilbert space of such a sigma model. And then the trace, what's in the trace will be this basically minus one to the F. And then this J zero will be the R currents, zero modes. And the usual Q and Q bar term. Okay. And then this quantity, as we know, is independent of where you are in the moduli space. Okay. And then the modularity of this guy will be that this is a Jacobi form of weight zero, okay? And then in the case of K3, well, one can compute it pretty easily. Then the answer can be just given by some theta functions. But I mean, you can also write it in another way in terms of the characters of n equals 4 superconformal algebra. So these are massless characters corresponding to our ground state. And then the rest will be given by massive states. So for instance, 45, 231, here you see the same number appearing, okay, as we have seen before. And in terms of explicit functions, I'm just rewriting this function, this Jacobi form, in the following way. So this some mu function, this some mu function, sorry, it's not very readable. And I won't care about what it is. But what's interesting here is that the rest is exactly the h function that we have seen before, okay? So in some sense, you might hope that the explanation of Mathieu Munshine really comes from K3 elliptic genus, okay? That's a natural guess. And then this 24 is just here, it's just this, the 24 dimensional representation that's playing the role here, okay? But I mean, you can already see pretty clearly that M24 does not act on CMOC model of K3 in a way that preserves supersymmetry. Because what we see that elliptic genus contains 20 copies of one multiplet and 20 and minus two copies, well, because there's of another massless multiplet, right? So since it a group acts on the way that commutes with supersymmetry, must preserve this splitting, okay? And M24 does not have a real representation that's non-trivial that has 20 dimensions. In particular, this 24 that we have seen is really 20 plus minus 2 times minus 2, okay? So this splitting is already telling you that there's a limitation of explanation of the appearance of M24 coming out of this. Nevertheless, it's been known for a long time that Mathieu group plays a role in combining the symmetries of K3. First, just the K3 surfaces. Okay, so let me write again. There is a theorem of Kondo which says that we can define a set of groups of K3 geometry. I really apologize. I don't know what's wrong with my pen today that it's making like this very funny scribbles. I hope it's somehow still somehow like readable. Anyway, so I'll just read through whatever I wrote. Okay, I apologize. Okay, so the set of groups, which is the set of groups of hyperplanar structure preserving structures, symmetries of any K3 surface. And as abstract group, this is the same as the set of subgroup of M23, which is of course a subgroup of M24, such that it preserves a five plane, or namely a five dimensional subspace in its natural 24 dimensional non-trivial representation. Okay, so M23 in this case acts as, you know, the group that collects all the symmetries. although M23 itself doesn't act, okay? And how about the larger set of groups, namely the groups that's not on geometric symmetries of K3, but on the symmetries of K3 sigma models? Well, it turns out that there's also a nice characterization like this. So this defined as the group of super conformal algebra preserving symmetry of any K3 sigma model is the same as subgroups of Conway zero. Okay, so this is Conway zero, sorry. Okay, hopefully it's now a bit readable, which is, by the way, the automorphism group of the Leech lattice that we have seen before, okay, such that G, this group, preserves a four plane in 24 dimensional representation. Okay? So now in this is a, oh, by the way, this is a theorem due to Gabardiel and Hohennager and Bopato in 2011. So although M24 does not act on any K3 sigma model, but it's still interesting that Conway seems to play the role of collecting all K3 sigma model symmetries in this way. So then the natural question is, how's Conway related to K3 sigma model? Can we somehow like have a place to embody this classification of the groups in some way? Okay. So that brings me to the next topic, which is VOA, super VOA. But V supernatural. But before that, maybe I should ask if there's any question.
Any question? Okay, so mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll leave till question in the chat to the end, so we can keep going.
Okay. Good.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So in short, this is a super VOA, and it has a nice property that the symmetry is given by this group Conway zero that we have just seen. Okay. And moreover, we can define a trace of such of this VOA such that the trace equals the elliptic genus of K3. Okay, so it seems like this VOA is really a nice object which connects, you know, the K3 sigma model that we have just seen and sort of and the Conway group, which is the group that collects all the symmetry groups on the sigma model. So you might hope that this VOA somehow plays the role of like a, you know, an embodiment of the universal symmetries of the super VOA. Okay, so this will be based on the work by John Duncan and Sander McCray. Okay. So how do we describe this VOA? It's actually extremely simple. We can describe it as a Z2 orbifold of the super E8 lattice algebra. So there's also fermions apart from the usual EA algebra, and the Z2 acts as just this. Okay, you reflect all the bosons and get a minus sign on all the fermions. Okay, and you can also describe it as even simpler, maybe Z2 orbifold of 24 chiral fermions. okay, which again acts as, you know, a minus sign on all formulas. And here you actually have some choice, but this is, in terms of the fermions, it's, you know, the invariant part on the nth sector of the fermions and the odd part, okay, the anti-invariant part of the Raman sector, if you want. And we can also describe its canonically twisted module or Raman sector. And in terms of free fermions, this is given by this. Okay. And now John and Sander did something very smart and simple. Namely, among all the 24 fermions, you can choose 4 fermions. So you split 24 into 20 plus 4, just pretty much like the K3 case we have seen before. And then you maybe group them into 2 complex fermions, chi 1 plus and chi 2 plus minus. Okay. And then this, you can build a U1 current that's proportional to this. And so now you can define a trace using this current. I'll write it in the next page. So this trace, you can find it on the twisted module, the Raman sector, and this one. So J0 is zero mode of, and L0 will be the usual of your sorrow. And then you can write it because this, we know that it has the description of a part of NS sector. And so you can literally write it down, okay? And at risk of boring you quickly, you know, so give you some idea of how simple this looks like. So this clearly comes from the two pairs of fermions. Two pairs of complex fermions, yeah. And this comes from the rest, 20 fermions. And then you put some minus sign here and similar terms. And here you have the Raman sector, 1 plus 1. So this again comes from the uncharged fermions. And then here you have 1, 0, basically. So this is the same as the elliptic genus of K3. And moreover, you can clearly see how a subgroup of Conway that preserves a 4-dimensional subspace in the 24 dimensions acts on this, right? You just, twining, you just replace like 1 plus or minus q to the alpha term to like 1 plus q to the lambda. And this lambda I will be the eigenvalues of the group action in the 24th dimensional representation. Okay? So that's how the twined characters in this model work. Okay. So hopefully this is all very transparent. So this is great. It seems like we have a very simple VOA captures all the symmetries of K3 sigma models. Okay. And gives the same trace. But, okay, one, we already know that it cannot provide a full solution to M24 moonshine, right? Because M24 as a group does not preserve a four space in this 24 dimensional subspace. And second, not all twined elliptic genus, so at some point in the moduli space where you have this symmetry G, even, is captured by the twining of the supernatural. So how could that be? Because I already said that this model Conway zero captures all the symmetry groups, okay? But then the fact that you can have a classification of groups as abstract groups, but another thing is how it acts on the spectrum. So this is showing you that how it acts on the spectrum of K3 sigma model is not always captured in the same way as it acts on the Conway model, okay? But still, almost all of them conjecturally can be captured by the supernatural. So exception of this is given by, for instance, this for the aficionados, these are kind of the group elements that cannot be captured. So this discussion is based on conjecture that I made in the paper with Sarah Harrison, Roberto Pato, and Mark Timmets, okay, in 16. So it's Harrison, Pato, and Timmets. But still, this is pretty good. But it raises a question. I mean, why? Why does this VOA know so much about the sigma model of K3? Okay, and I guess that's something that inspired this work, and to look at under what circumstances can a sigma model and a VOA be connected? Okay, in terms of the symmetry, in terms of the structure, and what else? Okay, so that brings me to the third part of the talk, unless there are questions.
Miranda, I do have a question.
Yeah.
So far the story, the construction you told actually doesn't need it to be Conway group. I mean, there is an action by all of spin 24 on this VOA. So are you going to explain why you broke the symmetry group down to Conway?
Right, so as you know, if we choose the superstructure, then spin 24, we can choose the A equals one supercurrent, and that breaks to Conway zero. Okay. So yeah, so thanks for asking, because indeed, the superstructure is important. Actually, in this correspondence, otherwise the many things will break, right? For instance, the correspondence between symmetry groups. Any other question? So I guess not. So so finally, I'll tell you what we can say about such a correspondence, okay? So in this case, let's say we have a color beyond manifold, which is X, and then the modulus M of X will denote in the moduli space of in principle A equals two sigma model, okay, this Calabian, and we will use mu to denote a point in the moduli space. Actually, in our example, so for today's talk I'll focus on T4 and K3, so this will be actually the ankles, the enhanced the ankles for. And we use V to denote a corresponding super VOA. Okay, so let me, well, so super is important. I shouldn't put it in the parentheses. And how are they related in the story? So first, symmetry in terms of its groups as abstract groups. We want to say that the symmetry of the sigma model at some point in the modulized space is a subgroup of the symmetry of the SVOA and for all points in the modulized space. Okay, so here the symmetry group is defined to preserve some other structure, for instance, supersymmetry, okay, on both sides. And let's say that we have a map from a symmetry G on the sigma model to a corresponding symmetry in VOA. And then the second part of the correspondence is on how this symmetry acts on both sides. So group action. Okay, we want to say that the elliptic genus twines by the symmetry G at the point in the moduli space where the symmetry G exists. So which is of course defined by the usual Ramo sector field of space trace, and then the same thing. And I won't repeat, but now with a G action inserted, okay, in the usual way. And this is the same as how the twining by the corresponding VOA symmetry of the VOA, okay? So this is the GV twine VOA character. And we want this to hold for a large number of G. For instance, we have seen in the K3 case that it holds for, well, how do you count symmetries? But I mean, the possible, conjecturally possible twining genera, almost all of them, apart from, I think, four, are conjecturally captured by the Conway module. Okay, so that qualifies as a large number, which is, you know, in this case, the vast majority. And then the third part is, I want to call this a reflection property. So, which is kind of a funny thing. So, which says that there's a specific point in the moduli space of the sigma model such that, okay, at that point, you perform a so-called reflection procedure on the spectrum, and then you get a purely holomorphic theory, which is then isomorphic to this VOA V of X. Okay, is it readable or should I write it again? Okay. No complaint, so I assume that this is understandable.
Yeah, it's readable.
Okay, thanks. So in particular, so the okay, so this is really bad. Let me try again. So the sigma model spectrum on this point in the moduli space, when treated as a module for the diagonal Virasoro, so T will be left plus right T, is isomorphic as a Virasoro module to V of X, okay? So this is kind of interesting phenomenon, and I should also mention that apart from the work of McCrane and Duncan, there's also a paper by Koitik, Duncan, Rigler, and another paper by Taramina and Veltland discussing this phenomenon in the K3 case, okay? So that's the three properties that I'm collecting under the umbrella of a correspondence between sigma models and VOAs. And now we should show you some examples of how it works. So examples here. So I have two examples. So one, what is X? And what is the VOA set? What is it? So in one case, I have the T4 sigma model. And the VOA side, well, the big given by the super E8 VOA. And on the other one, the other one is what I already mentioned, the K3 case. And this is gonna be the V supernatural VOA. And as I already mentioned, this can be related, this can be obtained related via a Z2 orbit fold, okay? And then this is where this correspondence, and in the horizontal line, the arrow refers to what I call the sigma model VOA correspondence. So let's take a closer look at the case of the T4 case, the T4 example. And then see how these three properties gets realized in this case, okay? So we know in this case that we just have one piece, one connected component of moduli space, basically given by this Grassmannian. Okay, hopefully this is somehow readable. And the field content is the following. We have four right and left moving bosonic U1. So compared to the K3 case, of course, the advantage here is that you can just write down everything explicitly. So we call that J and J tilde. Okay, and also the fermions. Call that psi A and psi A tilde. We can again group them into, you know, complex ones. And of course, we also have primary operators that corresponds to the winding and momentum lattice. Okay, so this K will have AL, AR, and winding and momentum lattice. And the splitting between, the splitting into the left and right moving part is especially what this point in the moduli space is specifying. Okay. So then the chiral algebra here, we have, as I said, four copies of U1, and they could just correspond to translations. Okay. And then we also have left and right moving SO4 current algebra. Okay, that's given by, generated by fermion bilinears. Okay. And then it contains the R symmetry current algebra SU2. So let's focus on the zero modes. That's going to give us symmetry. So for instance, we have the left moving part of SO4. That's two copies of SU2. And then one is, let's say, the J part corresponding to the R symmetry, and then the action part. So we do not want to break supersymmetry, so we do not want to touch the R symmetry current, right? So then what we get is that the symmetry of the sigma model, okay, at a given point in the moduli space, has this form, which is this continuous part, which we do not care further, and the G0 part, which is a discrete group, which we do care, and is given by the intersection of these, this outer SU2 from both left and right side. And we also want to preserve, obviously, the winding momentum lattice, which has signature 4.4. Okay? So now I'm going to give you the statement that corresponds to the properties I wrote down, the three properties I wrote down in the sigma VOA correspondence. So theorem one. And then this theorem says that we, again, look at the set of groups as abstract groups of K3 sigma models all over everywhere in the moduli space. Okay, so this is a classifying, group classifying set. Okay, so it's defined again this symmetry group is defined to be preserving N equals 4 superconformal algebra. So that's a restriction. So they are the same as the set of subgroups of the even wild group of the EA lattice. So which is a part, obviously, of the symmetry group of this VOA, EA VOA, with the property that G preserves a four plane in an eight-dimensional representation. Okay? So this satisfies our property one, the first property, namely that the VOA should know about all the symmetries everywhere in the moduli space of sigma model, as abstract groups, okay? So, I should mention that this theorem, in our work should really be seen as based on or refinement of results earlier by Roberto Vopato. So now the second property, which is how they act on the spectrum. After knowing how they're classified as abstract groups, we want to know how they act, okay? At least on the supersymmetry, symmetric part of the spectrum. Okay, so in this case, it just says that the VOA actually captures all the twinings of elliptic genus. Okay, so this is again hard to read. So this is mu at any point in the moduli space mu. The twining genera, whenever this symmetry exists at this point mu, this can be computed. And it's the same as the VOA character twined by the corresponding symmetry. Okay, and unlike in the K3 case, this holds for all symmetries at all points in the moduli space, okay? So you might say like, wait a second, isn't that very stupid? Because we know the untwined elliptic genus of T4 is zero, okay? But the fact is the twine elliptic genus doesn't have to be zero. So we're not just claiming zero equals zero a bunch of times, okay? And in particular, if it acts non-trivially on the right moving fermions, then it's not zero, okay? So then the third property we mentioned is this reflection property. So in this case, it's not too hard to see. So there is a point in the moduli space. So we can describe it. It has description of the geometry of T4 will be given by the T4 lattice, okay? And some specific choice of B field such that the winding momentum lattice takes this form. So these are all four vectors. You can think about them as quaternions. So you use the usual basis of the quaternions. They all have integral coefficients. Satisfying some constraint. Okay, then you can show that when you forget about the left or right moving, or in other words, you map this signature into a comma zero, then this actually can be identified with the EA lattice. Okay, so you write down the spectrum, how it acts, how the spectrum of the T4 sigma model at this point in the moduli space look like, and you map, you know, both the holomorphic and anti-holomorphic fields to holomorphic fields, including these primaries that are determined by this 4.4 winding momentum lattice, then indeed you can show that it's the same as this this E8 as VOA. Okay, So that finishes the description of these three properties in this case. And I have one last thing to tell you. That's the property of this correspondence. Okay, so so to describe it, then maybe it's easy, maybe it's helpful to recall the lore. It's extremely convincing lore, but not strictly speaking mathematically proven. Namely, if you want 4.4 superconformal field theory with central charge 6 on both sides and with four generators of spectral flow, okay, then there are just two of them. So T, such a theory is either isomorphic to a K3 sigma model at some point in the moduli space or to a T4 sigma model. Okay? So theorem 4 says that given the symmetry of a T4 sigma model at some point in the moduli space, okay? And then we can compute the elliptic genus of the G orbifold of this original sigma model, then after direct computation, so this is a function of tau and z, you can show that there are two results. One is zero, which is the same as the T4, elliptic genus, and the other one is K3 elliptic genus. And the theorem says, okay, this is either this or this. Whenever you can also compute on the VOA side the partition function, so now it's just a function of tau alone, or the VOA orbifolded by the corresponding symmetry, and this is then the either equal to the partition function of the same theory or of the Conway theory that we have mentioned earlier. Okay. So this is true. And if combined with this lore, the picture that you're getting here is that, okay, we have the correspondence of T4 sigma model and EA, okay? And on the other side, we have the K3 sigma model and V supernatural. And then this here we can do G orbifold. Here we can do the corresponding orbifold on the VOA. And this is actually a commuting diagram for all G. So this last piece, the fact that it works this way seems to suggest that this correspondence captures some natural structure of the story. And so this ends my description of this correspondence. And thank you for listening.
Let's thank Miranda for the talk.
I apologize for, I don't know, my crazy pen today. I hope it's not far too painful to watch.
It's okay. Most of them is readable, so I can read it. Is there any question for Marita for the talk? So Theo, there's a question from Theo in the chat. So he asks, let me quote, Jano use a honestly modular form related to age rather than age itself. Why not ask this question for Gano's form?
Use honest modular form. Ask this, which question?
I think it's in the first part.
Yeah, then I mean, it was a side question, and I don't want to distract. This was a very good, very interesting talk. But I've never understood in kind of the history of Metsu Moonshine. My memory of Gannon's paper that you were quoting was that he kind of makes a point saying, well, yes, there's this mock modular form. I don't really care it's mock modular. I'm going to write down a related modular form and rely on the modularity of that. And yeah. I was just wondering why people ask for a physical interpretation of the mock modular form or a natural construction of its kind of module and not for Gannon's honestly modular object.
Right. So I guess it's I can give a subjective answer. So the subjective answer would be, well, I mean, first of all, the mock modular form have very nice and natural properties. I wrote a paper with John Duncan. Basically, you can classify, you know, like cyclic subgroups of M24 by requiring this very natural number theory properties on mock modular form itself. So I would advocate, although it's subjective for now, that mock modular form is really something that you should think about as being natural, and especially that it connects also, I mean, okay, what I didn't mention this, didn't advertise maybe, is that, so the Matu Moonshine module problem is not solved, but many cases of the Umbra Moonshine module problem are solved. And then they solved using at least, for a huge part of the work, using the structure of meromorphic Jacobi form, which is directly connected to mock modularity of mock module form. So, and I think the module problem is really like the heart, the important question here. So I would also think that in order to understand, to solve the module problem of M24, one would really need to take the mock modularity seriously. And coming directly, more directly to your question, so Terry's proof, yes, relies on modularity. So basically just using what we know about modular form. So if something is true in modular form, if something is true, you know, for the first 1,000 terms or so, then you can prove using modularity that it's true for the rest of terms. But that proof is really great and demonstrates that we're on the right path. We're not looking for something that does not exist, but it is a slightly technical proof, which doesn't give you much hints about, any hints actually about where to look for the actual module, which the proof proves to exist. But okay, that's just my feeling. Yeah.
Any more question? Okay, so let's thank our speaker again.
Thank you. Thanks.